action and give me a beat. Ouch! Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce the hi-hat. Go on. That's good. Now the tambourine. Right now.
Hi, everybody. This is Brad with the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties. You are listening to WGXC ACRA, Columbia and Greene Counties, 90.7 on the dial.
Do you enjoy the arts, have an interest in art classes, and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members, and get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Kyle of Athens, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that the Department of Environmental Conservation Police are asking for public help identifying the vehicle and subjects involved in a deer poaching incident in Lexington in Greene County on November 22nd. A DEC statement said, and I quote, "Fortunately, no one was home at the time of the shooting, but the poaching incident was captured on a doorbell camera," end quote. Shooting off firearms within 500 feet of a dwelling or other occupied structure unless permission is received from the owner is generally against the law, and the DEC is investigating the incident. Deer hunting season began recently locally. Anyone with information about the Lexington incident should contact Officer Lucas Palmatier at 518-478-1698 or Officer Jason Smith at 518-703-3529 or call the DEC's 24-hour dispatch line at 518-408-5852. And you can read the full story in Porcupine Soup. Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that the Village of Athens gets $75,000 for a local waterfront revitalization program update, and the town of Prattsville receives $67,500 for its Smart Grow comprehensive plan from Regional Economic Development Council initiative funds. Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado, chair of the Regional Economic Development Council, said, and I quote, "This is how we build a more equitable future across our state, by investing in our communities and funding crucial economic development programs. We can ensure more New Yorkers have access to the opportunities, tools, and resources they need to succeed," end quote. And you can read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Lana Bellamy reports for the Times Union that New York is putting speed enforcement cameras in construction work zones that can automatically fine vehicle owners for exceeding speed limits. The State Department of Transportation and State Thruway Authority will start issuing automatic speeding tickets in 13 work zones throughout Warren, Orange, Queens, Nassau, Suffolk, and Jefferson counties, according to information posted on ny.gov. The automatic fines begin November 20th. Drivers getting automatic tickets will pay $50 for the first-time violation. The second violation within an 18-month period is $75. and three or more violations within an 18-month period cost $100. Computers identify license plate information in photos to generate the tickets, and, according to the DOT, a state-certified technician will review the violations before a notice of liability is mailed out. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, November 24th. Local early morning temperatures range from 34 degrees in Tannersville to 42 in Kinderhook and Copaic. Regional average soil temperature is 42 degrees. The area is cooling off again as we hit a high of only 41 at 12 p.m. A breeze will put conditions at cold, so wrap up if going out. Overnight, temperatures dip to 25 degrees. Then, tomorrow, we pop back up to 39. Expect skies to get cloudy by the end of the day. 24 degrees overnight takes us into a cold and wet Sunday. High of 43 happens at 1 p.m. Around that time, rain chances enter the area. That rain gets stronger overnight as temperatures fall to only 38 degrees. Monday, some lingering rain will be about and we get a high of 48. Sunset today will be at 4:14 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:53 a.m. Looking way up, we see solar activity has increased tenfold over the past week. A couple Hadouken were released this morning. Weekend could be interesting as a very unstable sunspot group is swinging into view and could start popping off heavy X-class flares. At the same time, the coronal ejection trajectories have yet to be pinned down. I'm not saying a bunch of satellites are going to fail, but this is the setup that would need to be in place for that sort of storm to occur. Stay tuned. Spaceweather.com and solarham.net are good sources for such things. Again, that's spaceweather.com and solarham.net. Most people should just expect poor radio reception, including GPS, and more dropped calls at the edges of coverage areas. Plasma winds will be slow at 354 kilometers per second with a thin density of 3 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight, with good conditions below 4 megahertz. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 176. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Okay.
Passing through this lake. Here in the studio with my very special guest today here on Ginger Radio Hour, Kula Badila. Hi, Kula.
Hello. It's great to be here.
It's been so long. I feel like I first reached out to you in August.
Right.
And we've been trying to figure this out ever since. Mm-hmm. And now here it is.
And here we are. Divine.
It's so nice to have you here. Let me turn this down just a touch. Oh, I'm going to get my tea.
Yes.
So, Kula, mm-hmm. I'd like to, there are so many different ways to describe all of the things that you are.
Oh, thank you.
And I wanted to say that one of the reasons I really wanted to speak to you is I spotted your seeds. Like, it seems to me that you've left these seeds across Hudson and across this area. In many, many different ways, through Grow Black Hudson, which of course you're the founder of, but also through your music and your dance and your jewelry. What else am I forgetting? Anyway, the seeds are everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I'm so pleased to have you here, and maybe we could begin. If you could describe to our audience your front porch, the plant porch, and what that's all about.
Yeah, so the plant porch is a, you know, we try to make it like a very safe space and a representation of like community being able to, you know, go to your neighbor for something that you might need. And in this case, it holds a lot of plant seedlings that we get donations from, you know, all throughout the spring and summer for different people who want to come and learn how to grow. So, you know, we'll have plants, we'll have seeds, water, soil, anything that's really donated, actually. Like, we'll just put it on the porch and be like, yo, this is here. And there's a really great trust system where people, they come and they take what they need. And, and then we're able to continue that relationship of building as a community, like, firsthand, in person.
So which came first, the porch or Grow Black Hudson?
The porch has probably always been there, you know. My family has been in Hudson since 97, and we've... you know, come from a background of always working in with community in some way. And as it started, it was through music and dance. My parents came with Diata Diata, which is a traditional, like, folkloric storytelling, dancing, drumming, music, all of this. And, you know, tried to build that here in Hudson, and have built that here in Hudson. Community theater all throughout since 2008, I believe, or no, 98. And, you know, just having, like, free experiences for community to come together and learn these arts, and especially as Black community, like, a lot of these roots that we're often, like, separated from, we wanted to bring that knowledge and awareness and pride and confidence, and, like, we come from a rich culture as well. So, you know, it was like a desert in that kind of way of acknowledging our ancestry in Hudson. So I feel like my parents really built that to, like, build with community, and then from there we've just established these relationships where people now that are like in politics or, you know, doing all these other things in Hudson, like they started as, you know, little 7-year-olds playing like a tree in a play or something, you know. So it's really awesome to see how that big seed planted has continued to help me be able to have, you know, a home, you know, all through these years. Also, my family would like house people or have our rehearsals in our home. Like, it's always just been a place that's been kind of this safe home that people can come to if they ever need anything, really, you know, big mama house.
So this is what it sounds like you grew Grow Black Hudson out of, this foundation.
Yes.
That was the seedlings for Grow Black Hudson. So can you talk a little bit about what you do for that?
So Grow Black Hudson has been you know, a very, very heartfelt seed that came from a need to really, like, think about our health and how we're living and how we can come back into our independence and that relationship with the earth and with nature. And it was also inspired by, like, the need to heal, especially during that pandemic starting and a lot of riots of just highlighting Black voices, you know, and needs. So it came to that space of, like, you know, being able to do more, you know, because a lot of people, like, it's easy to talk about the things or see the problems or point them out and protest, but then, you know, just, like, seeing, like, what action can I actually take, you know? Like, there's already these seeds planted where my family, you know, my siblings have been doing amazing things, you know, and have built with community in all these ways. And I grew up doing, you know, volunteering on different farms, like Germantown Farm, awesome. You know, I know a lot of people from there were supporting WGXC as they got started. So, you know, it's just a lot of connections with community that's always been happening. And that knowledge of working on the land, working on farms, like feeling that healing and that fun and that exchange that would happen. And then continuing, like, went to a Waldorf school that had a farm across the street, Houghton Valley, that also inspired just, like, working with the land in that way. And, you know, just wanting to bring that in when a lot of the healing was coming up of, like, what we need to heal as a people and as a society. And just, like, that stood out the most for me is, like, when I was able to be in my backyard with my siblings that were able to come home because, you know, things getting shut down, some of them were able to come and we were able to build a garden in our backyard. And just to reconnect in that way and be together and everything that we learned and felt, like, it just gave so much, like, peace of mind and hope and faith in the way that life continues to grow. You know, like, it has its cycles, but you can bring it back in, you know, and you can learn so much from that growing cycle. So so that inspired me when the pandemic hit, you know. I'm talking with my sister Gonda. She founded Black Hudson, which is something that continues to this day in Hudson that just brings a network for Black community to, like, exchange, you know, for, like, markets or different things that they're doing to just help put each other on for being aware of these things that are happening so they can have access to it. And, you know, she inspired me to, like, to bring it out more in that way as well, to, like, reach out and be like, oh, yeah, like, there's this network. Let's see these people that we've been with for all this time. See who wants to grow. See who wants to plant and, like, actually learn this. And so many people were down, like, immediately, you know, and that felt like a real, like, start to a solution for the healing that was needed. And, you know, like, our family, because of that foundation, that safe house we built, it was very easy to, like, be able to be welcomed into other people's homes where they trusted the information and the exchange and the energy and just the conversations, you know, that we were able to talk about to, like, uplift ourselves and connect with this earth and with how to grow our own food and with how to plant those seeds for ourselves in any way that we wanted to. Yeah, I don't know if that answered the question.
It does. I mean, one of the things that I found really inspiring by following your Instagram and what you're doing on Facebook with Grow Black Hudson is, so we talked about your plant porch and how there are all these things there available for people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very clear, like, you just go directly to people.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when we think of community, when I think of community, I often think of community spaces,
mm-hmm.
like the library, a park, places where I go to see people.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just going to see people. In other words, like, yes, you're creating a community and a spot on your porch, but mm-hmm. you're also directly bringing food.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you bring you making the lemon ginger turmeric shots and bring them out to people.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because you are, what you're doing is outreach, mm-hmm. but it's more than that. You're just going to people. You're talking to people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very important to me to come through as honest as I can, you know, with how I move. And, yeah, like, from the start of building Grow Black Hudson and just the work that we've done as a community, like, it always felt the best when I'm able to build a relationship with the people that I'm talking to and working with, and already having these relationships too, like, you know, that helps to support keeping that honesty, you know, in the work that's happening. And so for me, and even though, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, Grow Black Hudson can be so big, like, you can build this and, like, make it, you know, official and, you know, quote unquote, whatever. And, you know, it just remained important for me to, like, keep it organic, keep it natural, keep it honest with where I can move and how I can move and also where other people are at, you know. And, you know, still planning the thing, still making, you know, like, if there's going to be an event for something, like, still letting that happen. But also being okay to just, like, try to call someone up and be like, oh, hey, are you home? And, like, word, let me come through. And then, you know, we can hang out, catch up for a half hour and just talk about life, you know, and that is also the healing, you know, and I think that is more impactful and stronger when it's not just like, oh, I'm just handing you out these things or just giving you these things because, like, you know, it's mutual aid, it's connecting, but, like, let me actually talk to you, let me actually see who you are and, like, get to see who's in my community, see what your needs are, you know, and that is felt, you know. I know that the people feel that, and to be really seen and not just, like, you know, aided, like, but to actually, like, see that you can grow a relationship that's deeper than just, like, receiving or giving to someone, but, like, you know, making friends, you know. so yeah, you know, that's the way it moves. It's I show up, you know, I reach out and people come through, you know, and it just keeps going naturally in that exchange.
So do you have friends, volunteers? Like, how, you can't do all this yourself, so, maybe you do, but, like, how do you get that help? Or when you go into somebody's home and you realize that, they need more than a lemon ginger turmeric shot, they just need companionship more than just when you visit, or maybe they need help getting somewhere or whatever. Mm-hmm. How do you reach out? What do you, like, what signals do you send out to try to get help?
Yeah, I mean, if it is, like, more than something that I can offer, then it's usually just, like, putting them in touch with all these awesome things that are happening in community. Like, yo, like, this big talk is happening at the library that's, like, you know, talking about entrepreneurship and, you know, like, this is a place you can go to and also meet other people that are maybe feeling similar things or, you know, if it's outside of something that I can offer with my own time and energy and, you know, offerings. And as far as, like volunteer help and things like that, so the way it's been working, like, because it's a lot about some, like, people building in their own homes, like, they will be not the volunteers, but, like, that'll be the help that is needed for building it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very intimate experience like that where it hasn't necessarily gotten so big where it's needed, like, volunteers, but there are events that would happen where, you know, say I post up and there's, like, plants and soil and seedlings and stuff like that, like, oh, like, yo, can you help me, like, teach these kids how to, like, write these labels for, you know, labeling the seed that they planted or something like that. Or in our first year of Grow Black Cutsoon, we partnered with the community garden, Kitesness Community Garden, and did a whole series of cooking workshops. So that was, like, also, like, you know, a bigger thing where a lot of people who would come through and help, like, set up or carry different materials, or if they had some knowledge, you know, come through. I worked with Sweet Freedom Farm also, that brought some great energy and education behind, like, canning and stuff like that. So, you know, it's really just kind of, like, reaching out to the people that I know that have this, or just, you know, if we need more hands, like, I feel like it's people are more than happy to actually come through because they're also benefiting from getting to meet their community. So, yeah, it works very naturally like that. Like, all right, what is it that is what's going to happen? What do we want to do? And then see what's needed, or see if this is something that's, like, more of an intimate lesson that, like, you know, we can learn it right here at home.
And at the, especially in the spring and summer, mm-hmm. one of the most elemental things you're doing is you're going into people's yards mm-hmm. or into their homes and starting seeds, right? And yeah. growing things.
Yeah, yeah. Starting seeds, planting seedlings, you know, the weeding, you know, all those parts that come with it too, or just, like, dealing with different pests. And then coming to the harvest, you know, and, like, seeing the different stages of everything, how it, like, reaches its peak, you know, because everything, which is my favorite part about it, is that, like, everything has its season, and just also reconnecting to that energy of, like, eating certain things at certain times, because I do believe that certain or whatever, the fruits, the vegetables, they all grow with different medicine for that season, you know. I'm just thinking of now, like, the pumpkins and the kale and the broccoli, like those harder greens that have lasted. Like, a lot of that is great for these soups and, you know, just like high iron nutrients that can just help us boost up for this winter. So, and then, like, you know, in the spring, it's strawberry and something that's sweet and lighter, but like also has a lot of antioxidants and vitamins like that. So, you know, it's awesome to also like go through that with everyone and see like, yeah, this is the season for this and this is the season for that. And also respecting that nature has its cycles like that, you know, like it's very easy for us to just go to a grocery store and be disconnected because, you know, we want to get strawberries in the winter, you know, but to just be able to know that the land has its time too, I think is a good lesson for us to see. And, you know, just working through the gardens, like seeing how people are also seeing how life grows, you know. And then, you know, putting things to rest in the end. And that's another just lesson for us to go a little bit more, a little more inward and giving ourselves space for rest and slowing down to reflect and kind of build up for the next season.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Almost a hibernation, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What was the your most delicious thing that you grew this year?
The most delicious...
Or your favorite vegetable to grow?
Well, I grew some lemon cucumbers, which were...
I don't even know what that is.
A lemon cucumber. It's like, you know, it was probably cross, you know, made in some kind of way. But it's like a cucumber that they usually grow kind of round. And they have like a lemony flavor to it. And especially in like the early summer, it was really nice to like harvest it out. And they grow like... Some of them were just growing like funky too. Like they'll be all different kind of shape. But it made it seem like... I was like learning a new like fruit, you know, out here, and like and being able to like eat it and just cut it up, and it was so refreshing, and just add like some olive oil and tomatoes and like just eat fresh in that way. It was very nice. The tomatoes also always like super to have that juiciness. And was really happy to grow a lot of flowers, which, you know, you can make some for tea and things like that, but also just to like have them around and being able to like decorate my home with flowers or give them as gifts was really awesome. But I think the juiciest was definitely like those lemon cucumbers, like those hit. And I tried to grow some melons. I think I have to find a new spot for those, but like I was looking forward to that being one of the, you know, but it was good. You know, it was a nice harvest, peppers and a lot of like leafy greens, a lot of herbal things. But the lemon cucumbers, though, those were the juicy ones.
Nice. I'm gonna look those up.
Yeah.
I think I may have like through a farm. I may have gotten them before, just not knowing what they were.
Right.
Because there's also some, not radishes. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of kind of funky round things that I often don't know what they are, but I end up kind of cutting them up and maybe they're all in the radish family. I'm not really sure.
Mm.
But I still remember during the pandemic belonging to a farm where we would get a box, I guess, every week or every 2 weeks.
Mm.
And, you know, opening the box and knowing only about, especially because this was the winter, you know, really only knowing about 20% of what was in there.
right.
And then slowly kind of discovering, you know, over the course of a couple of weeks, like, what do I do with this? How do I cook it? How do I eat it? What is it? And I remember that experience being really wonderful.
Yeah. It's very exciting. Like a farm share, like, type thing. Right?
Yeah.
CSA. Yeah. Those are dope. And shout out to Long Table Harvest that does a lot of, you know, farm shares that they give out to just people in community who need it free of charge, you know, anyone who really wants it. They're taken to acknowledge that there is an abundance and that there is enough to share. And I think it's really awesome that they make that available to people. But, you know, we're all learning like that too. Like, okay, what do I do with this? I could pickle it, you know, and like make it last.
So, what's the best way for people to find out more about Grow Black Hudson who are listening today?
You can follow, I have, pages on Facebook, like Grow Black Hudson and Instagram right now. I don't have a website or anything like that. It's still very organic in that way of just like, the main thing being about letting the people that I'm working with know, like what is available, what are we doing, you know, like that's my priority, you know? So, and the best way I've been reaching them is through like direct messaging, you know, like texting them, calling them, or through Facebook. So, that's where I do the main like communications and shout out different things and you know, the organizing. And then Instagram is kind of more to share with people who've been following the story and want to continue to support in whatever way, through donations or through or just seeing what's happening, you know. And we, you know, people will donate all kind of things, seeds, soil, you know, so it's really like awesome to just have that platform to be able to kind of mediate the resources, mm-hmm. you know, to just put the call out there, and then people are down to give back. So it's been great to have the two, and just to see how, you know, there is this, you know, this little glimmer of like positivity with like social media and how it can really help bring community together in that way, and that awareness.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Maybe there's just no relationship between the president's popularity and down ballot voting, that voters vote on very different things. And maybe because we have a president centric kind of culture, we just get that wrong all the time.
Elaine Kamar with the Brookings Institute says recent polls do show President Biden trailing former President Donald Trump in 5 of 6 crucial battleground states. Compounded with Biden's poor approval rating, that could mean trouble for his party. But Kamar says Biden's unpopularity does not actually do a good job of predicting Democratic votes. The Biden campaign argues his support will strengthen once voters actually compare him to the ex-president. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis calls Trump the Democrats' best turnout machine. Republican voting starts with the Iowa caucuses, less than 2 months away. Trump is still dominating those polls, with former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley and DeSantis fighting for second. Haley is marking Black Friday by talking about small companies.
When I got to the State House, I really worked hard for small businesses, because small businesses are the heartbeat of our economy.
Military veterans in elected office say climate change is a national security issue, and they want Inflation Reduction Act funds invested in the clean energy economy. President and co-founder of Veterans Group Elected Officials to Protect America, Alex Cornell de Hu, calls the climate crisis a threat multiplier, driving instability abroad and disasters here.
We can get to 40-43% reduction in carbon pollution by 2030 with the Inflation Reduction Act, as long as we implement it well. And the next 10% or so can be done through rulemaking, so ensuring clean car standards and EPA standards.
Keeping animals off the highways is in Washington's headlights, with a Senate hearing last week and an expanded Interior Department order on wildlife corridors. Madeline West with Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership says providing the animals with a safe way to avoid traffic is now actually the top issue for hunting and fishing organizations.
Abundant wildlife populations of big game species and small game species, even like waterfowl, are important to the TRCP and our partners and the 14 million hunters in this country.
Some Nevada community leaders want the Biden administration to reconsider a proposed nationwide Food and Drug Administration ban on menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars. Quentin Savoie with the organization Run for Something thinks the ban could prompt more people of color having negative encounters with the police.
While I can understand and appreciate the science of why this is perceived to be a good thing, it's exceptionally short-sighted to think that banning menthol will automatically curb the addiction of those that use menthol cigarettes to cope with stress, manage their workload, or simply get through the day.
Public health experts say banning the smoking products will prevent thousands of deaths each year. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. With 70% of the vote in 2018, Ohio voters passed a constitutional amendment prohibiting partisan gerrymandering. The state's redistricting commission and legislature ignored it and gerrymandered the voting district maps anyway. Citizens are now trying to fix what the politicians won't. WOSU reports that democracy groups are preparing a 2024 citizen ballot initiative to overhaul Ohio's redistricting commission. The current 7-member commission is composed of the governor, state auditor, secretary of state, and members appointed by the Senate and House majority and minority leaders, all politicians. The commission produced 4 sets of maps, all rejected by the Ohio Supreme Court as partisan gerrymanders. Map-making then reverted to the Ohio General Assembly, which also failed to produce fair maps. The 2024 constitutional amendment is entitled An Amendment to Replace the Current Politician-Run Redistricting Process with a Citizen-Led Commission Required to Create Fair State Legislative and Congressional Districts Through a More Open and Independent System. The details of the proposal aren't yet available, but in addition to its partisan nature, experts say the current system failed because of the lack of an enforcement mechanism and no clear direction on whose maps were the final authority. We have resources on how other citizen-run state redistricting commissions work at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. Boys who grow up in poor rural households go on to earn more than their peers from poor urban families. Anya Slepian says a new study looks at the rural advantage.
America was once known for upward economic mobility, but that's eroded. Children born into poor families now are less likely than before to escape poverty. However, there are important exceptions, including some poor rural children. Dr. Dylan Connor co-authored a new economic mobility study.
Kids who are growing up in low-income families in rural places are growing up in communities that are more cohesive. They're significantly more likely to grow up in two-parent households and among other two-parent households.
The advantages they get from this stronger social fabric seems to work for boys who stay in rural communities as well as those who leave for the cities. But Connor says the advantage doesn't apply to low-income rural girls. They're at a disadvantage compared to their urban counterparts.
A lot of this rural advantage is really about the outcomes of boys and how much better they do in rural places than in urban places.
I'm Anya Slepian.
America's small poultry farmers may finally have a level playing field following changes to the Packers and Stockyards Act. Erin Johnson with North Carolina's Rural Advancement Foundation International says new rules could help combat unfairness and market power abuse that exists when huge chicken corporations called integrators contract with independent growers.
Contract poultry growers don't own the chickens that are on their farm. They don't own the feed that is fed to those chickens or the medicine that's used to keep them healthy.
He says right now, if an integrator's unhappy with a grower, they can manipulate the inputs and tank a chicken grower's income.
We work with so many growers who have experienced retaliation in various forms from their integrator, especially for speaking out in any public way about unfair practices that they've observed.
Johnson says if done right, the finalized rules could be historic. The 2024 legislative session doesn't start for 6 weeks, but Kansas Governor Laura Kelly says her number one priority is expanding Medicaid, which has been shown to improve states' health and economies. Daily Yonder contributor Liz Carey says expansion's popular with voters, and no state that's done it has gone back. She says Kansas is one of only 9 states still resisting.
Governor Kelly believes that not only will Medicaid expansion help save rural hospitals in Kansas, but that it will also promote the Kansan economy by creating a healthier workforce.
In the past decade, Kansas has seen 8 rural hospitals close. Hoping to build pressure on lawmakers, the governor's touring the state, telling the public they can turn that around.
With this effort, she's really taken the issue of rural health care and rural hospital closures to the voters and asking them to take charge.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
That was from the 2023 album Radio and My Voice from Chicago-based radio artist Holly Palumbo. The song was called Hellschreiber.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Mid-Hudson News reports that Representative Pat Ryan announced legislation to lower the price of prescription drugs in Poughkeepsie November 21st. Ryan's Stop the Farmers Rip-Off and Drug Savings for All Act would make less costly generic alternatives easier to produce. Ryan said, and I quote, "For too long, Big Pharma has been allowed to game the system, rake in record profits, and rip off hard-working Hudson Valley families. I'm pushing relentlessly to finally hold Big Pharma accountable and lower the cost of prescription drugs. This bipartisan legislation holds Big Pharma accountable and lowers drug prices," end quote. He added, and I quote, "It lowers drug costs across the board and generations," end quote. While Ryan, a Democrat, claims the proposal is bipartisan, the story does not name any Republican co-sponsors, and an internet search for the bill's name only found a few results, all related to Ryan. Currently, Republicans control the House of Representatives, so Ryan needs Republican support to pass the measure. And you can read more about this story in Mid-Hudson News. Ski resorts locally prefer a cold Thanksgiving weekend to take advantage of visitors in town for the holiday. But this year, temperatures could reach the 50s on Thanksgiving in some areas, and temperatures should stay mostly above freezing. Bel Air Mountain opened some ski runs early on November 16th and 17th, but then closed, and their website says they will reopen on November 24th. The website says, and I quote, "As long as Mother Nature cooperates, we expect to reopen on Friday, November 24th, end quote. Windham Mountain's website does not hint when they will start skiing, and Hunter Mountain's website also does not say when it will open and reports no snowfall yet this season. Many local government offices and local businesses are closed on November 23rd. Here is a roundup of what is closed for the Thanksgiving holiday. Banks are closed, county offices are closed, federal offices are closed, financial markets are closed, there is no mail delivery, Metro North is on a Saturday schedule on Thursday, an expanded Saturday schedule on Friday. Schools are closed Thursday and Friday, state offices are closed, and Trailways is on a regular schedule. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a happy Thanksgiving Day.
Montana Roberts' 2023 album Coin Coin Chapter 5. That's Shake My Bones on the radio at WGXC.
Next, we hear 2023 local music from Aaron Dyer from the band Buke and Gase. This is a collaboration with Stargaze. The song is called Define.
Dry sand. betrayal is involved. Before lake, after lake, drifting, paddling, excursion lake. Lake in good weather, lake in a storm, lake via a sense other than sight. I open the closet door and take down a metal box. Count three neat piles of $1,000 each, then stare into the ring. Its value is zero. It's an expensive nothing. Black lake, blue lake, empty lake, swamp lake. Lake for better or for worse. Lake via a sense other than sight.
That was Old Morality from the 2023 album Reflect and Oppose from Sky Furrows, which is Columbia County-based poet Karen Schomer and Albany musicians Eric Hardiman, Mike Griffin, and Phil Donnelly, who also play in the psych band Burnt Hills. The 2023 reissue from a, I think, 1992 track from the Australian indie band The Cat's Me Owl with Between the Stations and the Silence on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Thank you.
From his 2023 album Leisureland, that's Catskill's Reckless Eric with They Come Free With Cornflakes on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.